Welcome to Spraymakers, the podcast that dives deep into the world of slalom with Rossi and Trent. It can be easy to get distracted mid-season with all the noise out there. The guys talk through staying focused and keeping your skiing on track.
It just seems like right now is when everybody ditches what's been working and just starts kind of throwing haymakers, throwing darts at the board and just hoping something sticks. And it just, it's wildly amazing to me how many people derail themselves in that search for that magic potion, magic something, when they've already had the formula in their hand and just need to stay with it. I think that's part of success, man, is being able to, not grind out. I don't like the word grind because it makes it seem like it's hard.
But yeah, not banging your head against a wall.
Oh, well, there you go. See?
Yeah, not just blindly banging your head against the wall. That's not what we're suggesting at all. But you're right, Rossi. It's after the preseason's over, and then you start to get into the meat. Maybe you've already skied a tournament or two. You're exactly right. Like, this is where I find too many people get desperate, right? Like, they've formulated a plan. They've identified, okay, what is the most foundational item that, if I improved upon, I would yield the greatest return. And it's, people like to put the work in early. They're a little bit more patient. They're a little bit more open-minded. And then people start to get frustrated. They were seeing the results. They were feeling the results. And yes, perhaps they were incremental gains, but they were continuous incremental gains. And then it's like, I get tired of chasing the same thing. I get tired of just working on the same thing over and over and over. And then it's exactly like you said, they get desperate and they just fail to continue to stay the course.
It's so easy when you see a friend, a friend's like, oh, and they found their little shiny object at that moment, where it's like their one breakthrough. And then all of a sudden, skier A is now trying skier B's secret sauce. What I mean? It's like, no. Each of us has our own secret sauce. Sorry to cut you off there.
No.
Keep on rolling, bro.
No, but that's just it. It's staying the course. And again, always being open-minded and evaluative of input you're getting. But it's... people don't want to continue to do the hard work. I think too many people think there's an easier way through this. And they just start looking for, the gimmies. So what, as it pertains to your own skiing then, Rossi, how do you stay the course? Like, how do you continue to build upon the same, the same foundation, throughout the season? Like, meaning, how do you avoid getting stagnant or even basically, disinterested?
Well, there you go. I'm never disinterested. I can say that. Even, I guess that the disinterested for me gets when I'm skiing too much and I'm grinding too much and I'm not having fun. And that kind of, when I get into that part of the season, I tend to take less sets, maybe take a little bit of time off, walk away. Mm-hmm. I want to be hungry when I ski. So that's that part for me. But I mean, I think that ultimately I view learning and implementing new things as kind of a game of trust. And I want to build that trust up. And so I kind of evaluate, I think people just, tournaments are coming. I've got to get back to where I was last year, quote unquote. Oh my gosh. That one is probably the biggest killer of everybody's progress that they've made in the spring, is then worrying so much about where I was last year and will I be able to, we got to understand that when we formulate a plan, the plan is to take us down. I think of tree trunks and tree branches, and I want to stay on the big branch, the big trunks going up and start going out that branch. And when you start to implement new techniques into your skiing, you're taking a new branch, and you're going to have some faith in that. and abandoning that before you've had enough reps to make that part of your skiing is also, you know, kind of the, I don't know, I look at these as little mini tests. You know, they're kind of these things that are trying to, yeah, you're being tested all the time. Are you going to stay true, or are you going to give up and chase the shiny object that will not bring you any closer to where you're trying to go? So for me, yeah, I just really think about that. Like, I have, when I get done skiing, yes, there's always that easy to identify how many buoys did I run. But ultimately, I actually look into that. And yes, that's part of my assessment. But what my real assessment always is, and that's why I love skiing tournaments, because they're the best shower of this, is yeah, when I get done a tournament round, I ask myself, how well did I do my keys? That's my true answer. Not I ran one less buoy, or I ran one more buoy than yeah, last year's average. And what, where does that change me in my standings? And well, yeah, if I do that, then maybe I'll be at fifth at it's like, man, just stay the course. All the other stuff is noise, and you've yeah, got to just calm the noise out. And that's why I don't know, when I talk to people, I always go back to that Malcolm Gladwell, 10,000 hours. Yep. Let's just say it's 10,000 repetitions, right? Like, whatever yep, it is, think of all the times you've done, if you're trying to change something in your skiing, think of all the times you've, whatever, quote unquote, done it wrong or differently, yeah, or, you yes, know, whatever, yes, differently. Then I want 10,000 to right. And I want 1,000 passes run the way that I want to run them before they're in my back pocket, and I know that I don't have to think about them again. And there that's, is, the, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And that, no, and that's exactly it. Like, and I think, and I was probably admittedly being a little bit harsh. Like, it's not always that people are like, forget it. I can't keep doing this hard work. Often it's just people slide back into exactly what you said, that those 10,000 repetitions. If it's, you know, like what, I work with, you know, Mary 3 or 4 times a week, and this season it was like, you know what, we're going to go so super foundational. We're going to ignore a lot of the trickle down through the past. Your stance, the way you stand on your ski is going to be 10% better this year, no matter what, at the potential expense of everything else. And it's easy to then, you know, as you get a little bit more tired in the season and a little bit less focused for a set or two, it's really easy, like you're saying, to just inadvertently slide back to the 10,000 repetitions, because they're familiar, right? Your body knows how to get into like, for example, into a less efficient stance because you've done it 10,000 times. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it's just diligence. It's being just as committed in July as you were in, we'll just say April, for example, to implementing specific change. Mm-hmm. You know, and it, I mean, I get that it's difficult, you know, and like anecdotally on, you know, another example, like I have a good friend in California I work with almost daily. And, you know, there was a concerted effort where, you know, where I'm going to change the way I move through my gate turn. You know, and for example, I'm going to be more over my feet driving into the wake as opposed to behind my feet and simply loading with the goal of being faster, having more angle and being faster into the first wake. And with the end, obviously the end, you know, for this example, the end goal was never missing 35 off, you know, and it's, I think the hard part, whatever you're working on and whatever your end goal is, the hard part is appreciating and embracing that this might not be a 3-month project, and it shouldn't be. It should never be thought of that, and it might not be a 1-season project, and it should never be thought of that either. This might take me 2 years. This might take me 2 months. This might take me 2 weeks. But whatever that goal that you've set is, like appreciating, embracing that this isn't a short-term project, because as soon as you reach that goal, what happens next?
Like, right.
I mean, every slalom skier with the sickness that Rossi and I have knows that as soon as you reach that goal, the even before you reach that goal, the next one's already in your mind anyway. Right. So this is, this it's, like, and this is the hard part, but it's, you know, it's embracing the fact that this is a long-term project, you know, and like, for example, you know, last September, Will Asher set a European record, you know, one and a half at 43, or was it even two? I think it was one and a half. Anyways, it's not important. Well, it is important, but whatever the actual score was, he set a European record, an all-time personal best for him at 40 years old. He's been doing this since he was 10, mm-hmm. You know? So, and back to his example, do you think he's done? Do you think he's like, okay, go up. Wow, I finally broke the European record. Or do you think he's thinking about, huh, so if I can get around two ball, why, you know, obviously I can get the world record. Like it's allowing yourself to keep the big picture in mind. Otherwise you get stuck and you'll stop improving if you get too, you know, if you're trying to micromanage your results.
Constant evolution.
Yes.
And staying the path is the way.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's kind of sound a little Mandalorian there, but you know, I think that, like, I mean, I've probably said this story before, but I'll give a perfect example. Like I'm going to say 2002, I decided that I was committing to skiing a different way. And yes. I had a lot of success up to getting myself. I mean, I don't know. Some would say like, I mean, the takeoff I took from 1998 to 2002 was a pretty, I mean, it was a pretty upward reaching trajectory that was pretty awesome. And it was fun to be on, and it didn't just happen. It was a lot of hard work going on, but, and I got to, you know, I don't know where it was, seventh in the world in the world standings list, something like that. You know, mm-hmm. from 230th to seventh in like a 3-year run. So, you know, that's a pretty impressive thing. So people were starting to take notice. People were really, starting to get on the bandwagon and cheering me on. And I loved it. But I also started looking around, and I could also feel the way my body felt. And I kind of felt like I had hit the end of that branch that I was on, and that if two at 41 was my end game, and at that time it was one of the, you know, I mean, three at that time was pretty impressive in any day-to-day tournament, even though some people had run 41, it wasn't really, that wasn't in the mix. So, but the point being, you know, I just had to like look at myself, be honest with myself and say, am I good with two at 41 being my tops, or do I want to find a way to take this to the next level? And so I looked at my skiing, I looked at what I was doing, I looked at all the coaching that I did for so many people, and I, you know, was working with my good bud, Jamie Beauchesne, and we were formulating new plans of attack and how we were going to get further down the line. And so formulated that plan and instituted that plan and committed to it. And I can tell you that next season I was, you know, I was, let's say, evaluating every day and striving to do my keys, my new keys that I wanted to, as well as I could, and seeing, you know, building that trust up in those keys, not being willing to go backwards and just say, no, I'm going to run my 2 at 41. I'm abandoning this. I'm going to 2 at 41. So I was missing 39 sometimes, but I knew when I did it right, I knew that it was going to take me to a better place. So I'm committed to this, but I can't tell you how many people came up to me and, you know, I'll sum it up. They'd be like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? Like, you're skiing worse. Like, what's going on? Like, why would you want to, this isn't the right path, you know? And it's not the right path because they were seeing me not able to repeat every motion that I had been able to repeat up to that point, because they were new motions, new techniques, new ideas. And guess what? That trust level that I had in those old techniques that I did no longer wanted to do versus the trust level in my new techniques and the way I'd implemented them. Yeah, there was a gap there. But I said, no, I'm staying committed to this path. And I'm still on that path. And it did lead to more buoys. It led to a lot more success. It led to a much longer career than I would have ever had I kept skiing the way I was. So sorry to give you guys kind of a long run, but the end result is it worked out. It worked out. Yeah. But I can tell you that I had many, even close allies and people I trusted and respected questioning what I was doing. And then once it's implemented, part of the skiing, people tend to never come back and say, you know, I saw you doing that and that was amazing. They come back and tell you, oh, you're an awesome skier. And, you know, they just see all the fruits that now hang off your tree and say, oh yeah, you've always had that. And you're like, well, do you remember back when I was grinding this out? And, you know, I went from a fifth place in the world to a 12th place in the world. I took a step back because I was implementing, but then the next year I was, you know, third in the, you know, whatever those numbers are, it doesn't really matter. But the point is sometimes you have to just you have to see what you want to implement and you have to be willing to grind it out. And grind is a bad word. I think it's repeat, trust, build that trust up.
Trust. Trust.
Become one with what you're doing and get lost in it. It's so fun when you do that. I mean, and it happens in so many things. And I just, that's what I want my people to get lost in, because if not, you're just going to go to where you're in that same game every year. I got to the same place. I'm happy I got there, but you are left wanting more.
That is why people ski the same scores year after year after year. Like, it's at every level. And it's not that people don't want to improve. And for most people, it's not that they don't come up with a temporary plan, but they don't want to stick it out. They don't want to see it through because it's scary, you know?
Yep.
You, if you don't immediately see, you know, the quantitative results, the numbers at tournaments, the placements, the buoys that you're running, if you don't immediately see those results, people get scared that they're chasing the wrong thing or they're on the wrong path. You know, so it's trust in what you know, or trust in what, you know, your coach knows, or the people around you have helped you figure out it. And it's trusting in that process. Cause again, it is not going to be short term. None of this is, it'd be, you know, similar to if you were of the age that got to watch Tiger Woods through the early 2000s, after he had, you know, went on a however many year tear of winning absolutely everything and changing the sport, when, I mean, he completely reconstructed his swing. And it was the same thing, Rossi, like you were saying, you know, you'd tune in on Sunday and the commentators and the analysts would be like baffled and critical of the fact that he was trying to do something different when he was already the best in the world. It's that search for something better. So I think the big thing is, one, you know, trust in your process, get lost in your process, like you're saying, Rossi, and to appreciate the fact that this is not a short win. You know, this is not going to be an immediate payback, because again, there isn't a finish line in this sport. There's nothing that you'll ever achieve that there isn't something slightly beyond that. And I think embracing that takes a lot of pressure off yourself, because you can ski with a little bit freer spirit, a little bit freer attitude, knowing that, you know, no matter how good you get today, you're always going to want slightly more tomorrow.
Yes. Yes. That is insane. I mean, we could wrap that up right there. You just hammered it. I just kind of wanted to jump into something and ask you, I'll give you my take, and then I want to ask you what you do. But when I work with people, it's shocking to me how their minds jump from one thing to the other to the other. So my go-to move if I work with skiers is asking them before they put their ski on, what are you working on this set?
Yep.
I know what they're working on this set. Like, I know exactly what they should be working on. but I guess I'm kind of testing them to see, are you going to stick with what you're supposed to be doing, or are you going to chase a shiny object? How do you teach this to your clientele that you get to work with day in and day out? I mean, is it just being you being the constant and allowing them to lean on you for that? Or, you know, do you have any, like, thing, do you do like what I do, or do you have anything different keep people on target?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, whether you have a coach or not, it's having that, like, you know, like we said episodes ago, having that clear stated project, you know, current project. So, you know, at the start of the season, deciding what it is that you know you need to improve upon, right? We've called it the dirty work. Like, what do you know needs to be better? And then I just keep checking in on it, you know? Mm-hmm. And even if, you know, A starts to get that 10% better, so now B, something down the line, like B, is starting to open up, you know, because this is better. Now this can be, now we can kind of work into this a little bit, but it's always every set, it's checking back in on, like, you know, whatever that item was, if it's stance, it's, are you still standing the way you want? Like, you know, is that picture still a picture you want me to see? You know, it's just checking back in on the foundational item that you know you need to improve, whether it's stance or whether it's, you know, the space you're creating on the gate or whatever it happens to be. It's, you need to keep continually checking in on it. And like you said, Rossi, like, you know, you have a tournament, or if you have, you know, even just set to set, you know, you need to, obviously you're going to recognize the score, but then you also need to analyze, like, you know, how would I rate this key item that I know is in the long term going to pay off the best for me?
I really liked how you made it, A, you know, by doing A, you opened up these possibilities. Now that you're seeing these option Bs, people go right to option B and yes, forget that A set up B.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So that's what that's what I interpreted from what you were saying.
Yep, and for sure.
And that is it. Like, no, you don't move on. That's not how this works. Because as soon as you move on, B only opened up because of A.
Yeah.
So when you shift your focus to B and you stop highlighting A, then B goes away. And now all of a sudden we're sliding the wrong way. Right. So you've got to, that's where, and the other strategy for me that I have in place is, yep, I want my first pass to be my best pass every single set, every single day. And that first pass has as much mental focus and whatever you want to call it. Like, I'm ready to go on that first one. I want that first pass to be the best one. Just like, is it going to be I'm winning nationals pass. Why is this? Not to make it intense. That's not the goal. But we want positively done repetitions over and over and over again. And I want to be ready to go before I ski. That's why I have a pre-ski routine that I like to do, whatever that is. I mean, some people can come off the couch and just sit there and then go out and, you know, break world records. Other people, that's not really the way that my brain works. So I need to set myself up. I like to set it up. And then I want to have my intent and focus on that first pass all the way through my last pass. And I'm evaluating how I'm doing as I'm going. And I am keeping my focus on the letter A, not getting on B and C and D, and just really putting the highlight on it so that I want to have as many positive repetitions as possible with as little of the going backwards or going back to our go-to old school, older moves. I want as many positive in a row as I can possibly get. I don't have all the right words today, but I mean, and that's, so when I'm coaching a skier, then when we're idling out, or we're, you know, they're putting their ski on, or they've got their ski on, but they're not in the water yet, first thing I'm going to ask them, what are you working on?
Yeah.
And it's really shocking how many people are like, I'm working on gates. It's like, I mean, but the point that I strap my ski on, I have a major intention going on. Yeah. I know exactly what I'm going to be doing, and I don't care if there's a crosswind, if it's a different driver, if it's roll, none of that, that's all noise. That's all noise. I am going to stick to my program, my intent, and that is where I'm at, and you're not pulling me off of that. And if I get pulled off of that, that's the one of maybe three sets a year that I despise, because I feel like I just wasted my time and energy and the boat driver's time and energy and everything else. And I come back in and I reset and I say, no, that's not going to happen again. So those are important things. So I guess we're trying to give you guys as much different ways to look at this and understanding of it, because it's really important to, you want to make your weak spots your strong spots.
Yeah.
In order to do so, it takes time, positive, you know, reinforcement, doing it the right way. I mean, it's like if I taught you to throw a football one way and you threw it always through it sidearm, right? And then I tried to teach you over the head, the mechanics of that are crazy. I have a great example. I'm sorry, I'm talking a lot in this episode.
No. Oh,
my bad.
I want to hear this example.
But how about this one? Okay. Yeah. Take somebody who runs and say, sprint down the road and sprint back. And then change one aspect of that and see if they can even run. Because I did this the other day and I was sprinting and my trainer was like, hey, I'd like you to loosen your jaw. And he goes, I want you to feel like your jaw is going to just kind of fall off your face while you sprint. And he goes, I want your hands not to be tight. I want your hands to be loose and floppy. Right. This is what he wanted me to do. I can't even tell you. I was like, I'm having an out of body experience now trying to do this thing. Like everybody knows how to run. And now all of a sudden I'm like, my arms aren't going in the right sequence. And everything just feels discombobulated, right? Well, if I know that running, and basically the moral of that was I needed to relax so that I could get better power out of my moves because I was too tight in everything. Yeah. I was trying to force it, right?
Yeah.
But it takes me stepping back just a tiny bit, committing to this new move, because as I implement this into my day-to-day thing, I will become faster. I will become more agile. I'll be able to accomplish things that I can't accomplish in the way that I'm doing them now. And so got to realize that sometimes you're going to mess up that sequence. And sometimes you're going to just need to find the big letter A. We're working on A. That's the one. Don't get caught up in B, C, D, E. Yep. And really do not get sucked into other people's shiny objects. That's another just massive rabbit hole that is crazy, that one person's goal is not or shiny object is not yours. Yeah, single person has the same weakness.
Yeah.
Stick to your
I think just bottom line is, you know, when you get into that part of the season and you start to feel that progression lull, or you start to, you know, maybe even feel like you're starting to get towards that mid-season slump, re-examine what that fundamental goal was for the year and recommit to it.